I ran a magical 5K in a small town race in New Jersey, finishing a full minute faster than any 5K I'd entered since returning to serious running as a master. On that summer day in New Jersey, I was suddenly my 13-year-old self from 40 years ago in Cambridge. I dreamt big. I marveled at my running prowess. And then, back to mediocrity again. Like the obsessive person, and particularly obsessive runner, that I am, I have puzzled endlessly over those two anomalous races. I have running logs from my teenage years, and I've gone back over them looking for clues. Was there some indication in my earliest training of that kind of performance? Did I do something special? For my latter 5K, of course, I have infinitely more months of data from Garmin on every workout leading up to the event, and then still more from the day of the race itself, pace, cadence, splits. On more than one occasion leading up to a race, I've attempted to replicate the exact preparation I had for my New Jersey PR. I wanted lightning to strike twice. It hasn't. And I'm beginning to suspect the reason it hasn't is that I don't properly understand what it means to perform a feat of endurance. I think you can see where I'm going with this. I am the perfect audience for Alex Hutchinson's Endure. A few words about Alex Hutchinson. We are both Canadians and both runners, although he is both a better Canadian, he still lives there, I don't, and a much better runner than I ever was. He invited me once to a tempo run he does with his friends on Saturday mornings in a cemetery in North Toronto. As I recall, I finished last, or maybe second last, since one of his running crew very sweetly condescended to run at my pace. Alex disappeared from sight after the first bend. As you will discover, Alex writes about the mysteries of endurance as a student of the science, a sports fan, and a keen observer of human performance, but also as a participant. He has his own anomalous races to explain. It must be stressed, though, that this is not a running book. There are plenty of running books out there, and as a runner, I have read many of them. But they are insiders' accounts written for other insiders. Whether or not a runner should forefoot or heel strike or aim for a cadence of 180 strides per minute is a question only of significance to runners whose self-involvement extends all the way to the soles of their feet. But one of the many pleasures of Endure is how convincingly Hutchinson broadens the stakes. In one of my favorite passages from the chapter on pain, Hutchinson writes of the attempt by Jens Voigt to break cycling's one-hour record. Voigt was famously indifferent to pain, but when he climbed off his bike after breaking the record, Hutchinson tells us he was in agony. The pain he'd been pushing to the margins of his consciousness came crashing down. That is a cycling story. But in Hutchinson's hands, it also becomes a way of asking a much deeper and more consequential question about how our physiology interacts with our psychology. In a wide variety of human activity, achievement is not possible without discomfort. So, what is our relationship to that pain? How do the signals of protest from our brain interact with the physical will to keep moving? You don't have to be a maniacal cyclist to appreciate that discussion. If anything, that discussion is likely to dissuade you from ever becoming a maniacal cyclist. Everything was aching, Voigt said. My neck ached from holding my head low in that aerodynamic position. My elbows hurt from holding my upper body in that position. My lungs hurt after burning and screaming for oxygen for so long. My heart hurt from the constant pounding, my back was on fire, and then there was my butt. I was really and truly in a world of pain. Oh, man. It was painful just to read that passage. Does Endure solve the puzzle of the anomalous race? In one sense, yes. My problem, I now realize, is that